Greetings and welcome back to Habits into Health. This is Michael Ann Conley. I'm the host of this show. We're all about discovering new ways to stop feeling out of control and start creating a future where you're free of habits that have gotten you in your grip. This show is also for you when someone else's habits have you feeling trapped. And if you're already creating your future, you'll hear things in this podcast that'll help you stay on track. We're doing a series of podcasts on what to do if someone else's habit is hurting you. This could be your spouse, one of your kids, a friend, or another family member, someone else you care about. It could be someone you're around at your job, a supervisor, coworker, or it could even include a customer if your job involves spending time with customers in activities that are social in nature. For instance, when your company expects you to wine and dine clients or customers, and even if the wine isn't an issue for you, other activities associated with keeping the customer happy might be. This podcast includes information, but it turns out we don't change based on information alone. That's not how we humans are created. We're much more likely to be motivated to change because of experiences that impact us on a feeling level. And this is why every episode of this podcast includes an experiential exercise to support you in creating your personal path to change, wherever that may go, wherever you choose to take it. So we say, let your body lead so your mind doesn't have to, for a good reason, because experience leads the way in most human change. So before we talk about today's topic, let's take a few moments to support you in stepping away from your busy, busy mind and slowing down to connect through your body. We repeat these exercises, or the exercises have a kind of familiarity to them if you've listened before, but mainly because they grow on themselves, and that means the more that you give to each practice, then the more it gives back to you. So here we go. In this episode, I'm going to invite you to just tap into your physical experience of yourself right now in this moment. And you know what? You don't have to do anything differently. This isn't like many meditations where you remove yourself from what you're doing. You could actually call this a sensory meditation. It's really about being in yourself in the moment, in the biggest possible way by connecting to yourself. So just notice where you experience your own sensations. I'll give you some examples. Let's say you're driving a car right now, and you can keep your attention on the road while you're listening and be fully alert, but you can also feel your hands on the wheel at the same time. Tapping into your physical experience also involves how you're using yourself. At the simplest level, it could be just noticing how you're using your hands on the wheel. You might flex your hands a little bit, tightening and untightening, to increase your sensory experience of your hands on the wheel. Or let's say maybe you're sitting at your desk at work or at home. The first level is just feeling your sits bones against the chair, or your arms on the armrests, or your elbows on the desk. Maybe you're listening while you're walking around doing chores. Just be attentive to how you move around, you know, how you are walking. You could just feel the sensations of your feet as you walk around, or the movements of your arms as you pick something up, put it down. Just notice the sensation of that. You can notice not just the speed of your movement, but the way in which you engage each leg as you move. Maybe you move your head in a particular way. Or do you compress yourself somewhere, in some way, your lips or your arms? Or do you loosen something somewhere, in some way? Wherever you are, whatever it is you're doing while you're listening, you can take a moment to notice whatever you're doing. When you start by attuning to your senses, you will start experiencing something different than when you focus on mental understanding. You'll be learning to be in yourself and in the world at the same time. If this approach to self-knowing engages you or interests you, you can listen to other episodes by going to habitsintohealth.com and clicking on the podcast menu, or you can search for Habits into Health on iTunes. My name is Michael Ann Conley, and I host this show. I created Habits into Health to support you and anyone else you know in dealing with problem habits that are getting in the way of the life you want to live. You can like Habits into Health on Facebook and follow my posts there. That's at facebook.com/habits.into.health. And practicing on your own is only a start, so if you want to take this to another level, then come to habitsintohealth.com, ask for a free self-assessment questionnaire, and it'll get you started. Okay, so for today, we're continuing in a series of conversations about a specific problem. And that's when somebody else's behavior creates problems for you. In this episode, I hope to convey how important it is for your own self-esteem and helping yourself, as well as potentially helping the other person, to take the highest road you can when you're dealing with them and their issues. It's really easy to justify acting out when somebody else is acting out and it's affecting you. But what I've learned in my own life and as a behavior change specialist for almost 30 years is that you may experience some immediate pleasure or gain, but eventually that fades into dissatisfaction with yourself and dissatisfaction in how you handle things. One of my mentors is Stanley Kellerman, and he says that satisfaction is far more important than happiness. I didn't understand this for the longest time because it took a while to experience that chasing happiness actually can create unhappiness. It's like a carrot and a stick. You never really quite get there, or you get there in moments and then it just goes away. But I can tell you, when you act in ways that leave you feeling satisfied, it really stays with you, no matter what the outcome of a situation. Being satisfied with how you managed yourself is really the biggest gift ever. Today's topic is a test of that, and I call it keeping your own side of the street clean. And here's what it looks like. You're in a situation with another person. Maybe it's friendly, at least most of the time, and maybe it's not. Even in a friendly situation, another person can say something or do something that triggers a reaction in you. Maybe they tease you, or they pick a fight about something. Maybe it's specific, like they borrowed money from you and don't pay it back when they promised. Maybe they said they'd go out with you to a film and they show up too late to get there on time, and this isn't the first time they've done this. Or perhaps they promised to take out the garbage or pick up their clothes off the floor or cover your next late shift because you covered for them last month. Every relationship is like a street with a walking path on either side. You've got your side of the street and they are on theirs. Sometimes other people are just walking your way for a short time before they turn in another direction, and sometimes people walk with us for a long, long time. So just picture you and someone you know or care about whose behavior is creating hurt in you. It's like they're on their side of the street, and they throw some trash over on your side. You get some choices about how you deal with this. Too often we want payback. And it's easy to feel justified in sending that trash back. We're adding some of our own trash from our own side of the street. After all, somebody does something to me and it hurts, well, I want them to know it. And the best way for them to know it is to hurt them back. That's what we tend to say to ourselves. Problem is, when you do this, there's no guarantee that they'll know or understand things from your perspective. Besides, if what they're doing is throwing trash, whether they're deliberately trying to provoke you or not, chances are, they're not really interested in your perspective, at least in the moment. Another problem is, when you throw that trash back, you could feel righteous and pumped up in the moment, but like I said earlier, eventually this will go away, and you'll still have your feelings about being trashed, and on top of that, you'll have your feelings that you got sucked into trashing back. It won't feel good. You're free to do it, but I don't recommend it. Keeping your side of the street clean means doing a couple of things instead. First, don't initiate any trash throwing, and if you do, apologize and follow up by not doing it again. Really keep your promises. Keep your side of the street clean. And the second way is when somebody else does something that gets under your skin or provokes you to throw something back at them, don't get sucked in. Okay, I know it's easy to say and harder to do. It does take some practice. So here's one tip to try out this week, and it's something that you can practice immediately. First thing you would do is you want to take a breather from the situation. There's absolutely no rule that says when somebody is saying or doing something that is upsetting you that you have to stick around. And even if you choose to stick around, or you're in a scene where you can't physically leave, you can still take a deep breath. Count to 10 or 20 or however long you need to count. And then the second thing, and this is really important, is you can announce that you're going to remove yourself from the situation. Announcing your intentions is important because just walking away could be avoidance, and you won't feel good about yourself if you just scurry away like a victim. But it does mean you walk out of the room or the house or the office after you've announced yourself. If you're in a situation where you can't do this, for instance, if removing yourself means getting out of a car while it's moving, or in an area where you'd be more unsafe, or if you're in a location that's unfamiliar to you, well, you can remove yourself energetically by saying something like, I'm not going to get into this right now, or I'm not going to fight. Put your attention on something else. Once you've announced yourself, you've announced that you're not avoiding, you're making a choice and a decision not to engage. In the keeping your side of the street clean metaphor, it means picking up that trash they sent your way and throwing it in a trash can rather than tossing it back at them, either in words or deeds. You will feel better about yourself in the long run if you do this. In the next few episodes, we'll talk some more about why announcing yourself is such a significant part of keeping your side of the street clean, and how taking the high road will eventually help you get clarity about the situation you're in. And that can lead you to creating some self-caring habits in the face of dealing with somebody else's self-destructive habits. So it's time to sign off for now. If someone you know has a habit that's creating problems for you, then the truth is you may have developed some habits of your own in response. My free self-assessment questionnaire can really help. You can also find other podcasts, articles, and resources that I have on the website at habitsandhealth.com. And it's all intended to help you turn around those patterns so that you can create healthy possibilities for your future. I like to say, remember to start small and be kind to yourself along the way. You've been listening to Habits into Health, and this is Michael Ann Conley. I'm here to help you stop feeling out of control over those unhealthy habits, wondering what you're doing wrong or what's wrong with you, and start creating a life where you feel just as powerful on the inside as you look on the outside. Thanks so much for joining me.